From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, how red ribbons changed the culture of sympathy.
First, let's go to the Midwest now and check in on the flooding there. The overflowing Mississippi has left hundreds of miles of destruction. In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, residents are trying to clean up and they're trying to reclaim their homes and businesses. A lot of people there are also trying to figure out just how to rebuild. Iowa Public Radio's Dean Borg reports.
Cranes and end loaders are plucking rubble, some piled 10 feet high, from Cedar Rapids neighborhoods and the downtown business district. Huge dump trucks receive new loads in endless, almost bumper-to-bumper landfill relays. Downtown business district streets remain nearly impassable, blocked by rubble and cleaning crews. Doors are wide open, no need for security, there's nothing left inside. Polina's Meats window displays a cynic scrawl, "Dollars in the freezer." A few doors away in the city's historic Czech village, John Rosherick is slogging through ankle-deep mud inside the Sakura Bakery. He hopes to reopen by Thanksgiving.
We had about 8 feet of water in the first floor, but it didn't touch the historic painting that was done back in the 30s by a family that came through, didn't have money to buy anything, and so they painted the bakery and left that for people to see. It's been there since the Depression. Good news is our old oven here, vintage 1888 that we've been using at this location since about 1912, it's going to get new brick, new stone now. So we're going to turn it into a nice new-looking thing, but it's going to be the same old oven.
Rosherick's optimism is not a surprise to Lee Clancy. She's Cedar Rapids' former mayor. She now heads the Chamber of Commerce and expresses amazement at the work ethic here.
People were frantic to get back into their offices, into their places of business, to get their businesses back up and running. People were frantic to get into their homes and get things cleaned out and try to see if they can rebuild a life in them. This work ethic, this haste to get things done, is both a positive and a negative, because we don't want people to become very frustrated and angry.
But that's exactly what's happening. Residents who quickly carried rubble to the streets now want what's next answers. Deanna Jenks, whose house is tax assessed at $71,000, was among those expressing frustration last week at a city council forum.
I've only had my house since November, and I put $6,000 worth of updates in it. I'm ready to have that thing bulldozed. I don't even want it anymore. You know, we got 500-year flood this year. What happens next year? What if we have the 600-year flood?
That's just what Cedar Rapids planners are pondering. Which floodplain areas will they make off-limits for future building? In the downtown business district, commercial real estate broker Scott Olson says only quick decisions will prevent more business flight.
I have already seen several companies that were located in downtown begin the process of relocating out of downtown permanently, because they're not hearing enough information as to when they might get back, when they might have power, or when these buildings can be remodeled to put power back into them. And so my concern is, if we wait too long, we're going to have an empty downtown, and that'll make it even more difficult for those first floor businesses, restaurants, coffee shops, all the other businesses that make their livelihood from the downtown business worker. They won't have any people there, and then we won't see them coming back either.
Cedar Rapids officials are requesting emergency housing from FEMA. They say retaining a workforce is critical for the city's industrial employers, many of them also flooded but pledging to rebuild. Among those is Quaker Oats, the world's largest cereal mill. It's signaling its intent to stay here by using an emergency generator to light its iconic logo atop the plant adjacent to the Cedar River. For many, it's a symbol of the city's resilience as it struggles with just how to rebuild. For NPR News, I'm Dean Borg.